Local people, local stories. This is the All Local from 1010 Winds.
I'm Larry Mullins, and here are today's top local stories. We begin this afternoon with that dilemma on Long Island, which has now turned into a legal argument. Once upon a time, folks were urged to mask up during COVID. Now there's a law just signed this morning by Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman telling people to take them off, saying anti-Semitists are hiding behind those masks to commit crimes against Jews and others. Some say the bill is so poorly written that it's bound to be overturned, and one group thinks it's all political and could actually be a smokescreen to target certain groups or ethnicities. Uh-oh. It's where we start on this Wednesday. Newsman Roger Stern leading the broadcast with To Mask or Not to Mask.
With some in the audience wearing T-shirts reading End Jew Hatred, the county executive highlighted hate crimes as a key motivator for the law.
We've seen people who wore masks and engaged in anti-Semitic acts, engaged in violence.
The ACLU complains that mask laws subject medically vulnerable people to police harassment. Nassau has mask exemptions for medical and religious reasons, but County Executive Blakeman was not specific about what that means and how people can respond to police questioning.
What our police will do is make an evaluation as to whether they believe that you are, in fact, telling the truth.
Roger Stern, 1010 Winds on 92.3 FM in Mineola.
See, that's the part right there. People are concerned what kind of discretion will be used on part of said officer to make that call. The bill is the nation's first law banning the wearing of medical or other masks while committing a crime or acting suspiciously. No doubt, folks, we're going to be hearing more about this one. Stay tuned. Well, finally, there's footage of the guy running around robbing people, stealing high-end watches. The NYPD put it out there this morning, say he's responsible for at least three separate robberies in the past 2 months. In each case, the suspect approached the victim from behind, put him in a chokehold until they passed out, and then stole their watch. The first incident happened Saturday, June 15th at 3:30 in the morning. The suspect got away with a $300 Orient watch up on Christopher Street. This guy we talked to says you have to remain vigilant and don't wear your good stuff in plain view. Put it in your pocket when you're alone in the wee hours of the morning.
I guess everybody has to be vigilant, watch your surroundings, because, you know, every time I go everywhere in the city, I'm watching myself. I always tell my wife, everybody, be careful.
Yeah, nobody wants my little Apple Watch. The robber probably has one of those, not to make light of it. But in any event, the most recent incident happened about 1 a.m. on August 9th. Guy lost a $14,000 Rolex here after he was put in a chokehold and left unconscious. Says when he came to, his watch was gone. Get a hold of Crime Stoppers if you know anything about this. Speaking of which, one day after Mayor Adams says they're going to start turning up the heat in Central Park to stop a rash of robberies, got another one last night.
The latest robbery here, about 10:45 last night, two 20-year-old men had their chain snatched and their vape pipe stolen from two teens believed to be around 16 years old. In the middle of this packed morning, a sunny day in Central Park, everyone seems to be talking about it. I chatted with Mark.
It's police presence. I think that in itself augments, you know, the possibility of continued crime.
Do you see police out here? Or?
I don't.
You don't? Not at all?
No, we see it, you know, periodically, but not to the degree that you would think. I'll walk the dogs in the park and you'll see one police car patrolling all around.
Other longtime park goers tell me they hope extra cameras will be added to inside Central Park. Glenn Chuck, 1010 Winds, 92.3 FM.
Also, you're probably noticing more guards down in the subway stations, or maybe not. Some aren't always in plain view. The MTA has doubled the ranks of private security guards near subway emergency exits to catch up with scofflaws who are sneaking into open gates and still jumping the turnstiles. They're spending $35 million more through next year on increasing the lookouts to 1,000 people. These are unarmed security guards, by the way, whose mere presence at the gates is intended to slow the stream of fare beaters. By comparison, the MTA says it loses anywhere from $700 to $800 million a year from non-payment in the subways, the buses, commuter railroads, as well as toll bridges. So $800 million minus $35 million, you do the math. Board members say, yeah, it's a deterrent. The agency estimated in May fare evasion dropped by 20% to 30% at the 50 stations where they had people deployed in 2022. Mayor Adams says he's getting stuff done. He's making progress on getting building sidewalk sheds down and also looking to overhaul the requirements for them.
Another set of scaffolding came down on 8th Avenue, bringing light and business back to the area. Mayor Adams explaining,
restaurants and bars are seeing as much as a 10% decrease in weekly transaction in the 6 months following a shed going up.
So far, the city's taken down 259 sheds that have been up for 5 years or more. And Buildings Commissioner Jimmy Otto is working with the city council for increased penalties.
It gives us new tools to say, hello, it's us. And also to get to the heart of the matter, those redesigns and then the local law 11 changes.
That may mean not having those scaffolds up as often. Juliet Papa, 1010 Winds on 92.3 FM.
And Donald Trump has lost his latest bid to get rid of the judge in his hush money case. Judge Juan Merchan declined to step aside today, as expected. He has refused to recuse himself before, saying there's no reason. The decision coming as the case heads forwards and towards a key ruling and potential sentencing next month. This is the third time lawyers for Trump have asked the judge to exit stage left. Trump's lawyers had argued that there was a conflict because the judge's daughter did some work for the Democratic Party 4 years ago, including the then campaign of Vice President Kamala Harris. A state ethics panel ruled last year that none of that has any bearing on the case and that Merchan could continue on with it. So here we are. They've come out with a list of U.S. airports now, which get the most diss from customers. They measured things like how long it takes to get through airport security, the length of the line at the pretzel shop, and how many times a little guy on the cart beeps his horn to tell you, move out of the way, cart coming through, hello. Okay, so that last one was for free, okay? Anyway, the Austin-based travel company Upgraded Points looked at complaint data from the TSA between 2015 and 2023. Wanted to see which airports are more prone to passengers mad enough to file a complaint, as well as the most common complaints. Believe it or not, Newark Liberty is the most complained about airport in the U.S., and by a pretty wide margin. Palm Beach Airport came in second with nearly 6 complaints to 100,000 customers. Orlando International, Southwest Florida Airport, and the airport in Cleveland round out the top 5. With the most complaints, Charlotte Douglas, DFW, and Chicago O'Hare got the fewest complaints. And the biggest complaint says here, TSA agent rummaging through your stuff and taking things from your luggage. In all fairness, I seldom check my bags. I like to keep my stuff with me. But anyway, I think Newark Liberty is the best airport in the world since they opened that new terminal, but that's just me. Also today, a massive search is underway now to locate a teenage girl who was allegedly kidnapped by some men in Brooklyn yesterday afternoon. Police say the 16-year-old texted her mom about 3 p.m. saying two men had grabbed her. She was last seen getting into a van at Sicklin Avenue, the ANC subway station there. Haven't seen her since. She's described as having a light complexion, black hair, brown eyes, about 5'2", 120 pounds. She had on a black hoodie, blue jeans, white sneakers, and she was carrying a little gray purse. If anybody has seen her, they want you to call Crime Stoppers at 800-577-TIPS. And I'm probably out of turn for saying it, but I'd call 911 to get this baby back. That child's mother is probably losing her mind right now. Well, a heartwarming story out of Long Island, meantime, where a lady says it fills her heart to know that her deceased husband is living on in other people after his organs were donated when he recently died. Sophia Hall visited with her.
They were together for 25 years until life as she knew it stopped. Maritza Mora tells me her husband, Mark, suffered a heart attack. He was 50 years old, and she was there in the hospital when he took his last breath.
We have a lot of mutual friends, and everybody was so supportive.
His organs were donated, saving the lives of 6 other people. Mark was a volunteer with the Yaphank Fire Department, and one of the recipients is an NYPD retired detective and September 11th first responder.
He would want to keep making people happy, and every day it gets harder to keep going and knowing that Mark's not around. It brings so much peace to me knowing that there's other families out there that don't have to have that now.
Sophia Hall, 1010 Winds on 92.3 FM in Suffolk County, Long Island.
Thanks for listening to the All Local from 1010 Winds. And for the latest news, traffic, and weather, tune to 1010 Winds, visit 1010winds.com, or download the Odyssey app to take us wherever you go.